Just a few words about this remarkable passage. If we tried to dive into everything that is in these 14 verses, well, we'd be here till next Christmas, and that might not be wise because people might get upset about that. But nevertheless, in the short time that we do have, there are a number of things in this passage that jump out to our attention. And they're about what this time of year should, must remind us of. We've sung and we've heard fantastic carols tonight. Many of those words take us right to the very heart of the message of God's goodness and grace in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news of Jesus. At the end of our time together, we'll sing one more carol. And for me, it's the one that picks up the most parts of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and puts them in a way that people like you and I can just understand. We'll sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. What a great thing that is. Because it gets some of these statements made by John here at the beginning of his gospel. Remember, John is called the Apostle of Love. Time and again throughout the New Testament, we see that somehow he was the one who is named as the one whom Jesus loved. And he has a remarkable insight into who, not just who Jesus was in his time on earth, but who he continues to be. So as we look at these verses that we've just read together, in the words of another carol, let us keep and ponder in our mind God's wondrous love in saving lost mankind. And we've heard in our readings how when the shepherds went to find the Lord Jesus and they told Joseph and Mary all of the things that they'd heard, Mary did something rather special. She treasured up the sayings in her heart and she pondered them. Now, we're not people in these days who do very much of pondering. We're too easily tempted into flicking over the screen or swiping whichever way we choose to. Mary did something different, and I commend it to you. She thought through all that had been said about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she pondered it. She turned it over in her mind. Well, maybe this Christmas is a time not for just watching what's next on telly, but thinking through the Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, we see here that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In the opening verses of John chapter 1, we see that it's talking about the Word, the very breath, very being of our three-person God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've read that he's always been there. There never was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't there. There never will be a time when he's no longer there. Because not only is he with God, he is God. When we come to Christmas, it's very easy to think of the Christmas story, as some people call it, as just that. It's a very pleasant but harmless story that sort of fills in the gaps between the Christmas specials of the series that we like to watch on television. But it's much more than that. It's not quite a charming tale of a baby in a manger surrounded by animals and visited by shepherds. So I don't know if you've ever considered this, that we've got numbers that are very blessed with new babies in our church. And so new parents will be very used to this. But if tonight we could go back, if by some process we could get back and stand at that manger, and you could put your finger into the manger. Every new baby has a very strong grasp reflex. Put your finger in, they get hold of it. If you had been able to do that in the manger, your finger would have been held in the hand for whom and in whom and through whom everything was created and holds together. So this is not just a pleasant little tale. Over my professional career, I've lost count of the numbers of nativity plays that I've attended or been part of or helped to put on. This is not just about something where, oh, the shepherds come on and with a little bit of luck, you know, they'll get the lines right and they'll stand at the side and look on. I can remember on one occasion being asked to go to a nativity play to do what I always used to do, which is say a few words to parents and, you know, just be the presence there. And this little lad had really, really, really wanted, it may have happened to some of you children, he'd really wanted the star party, wanted to be Joseph. But he messed up. He didn't get the Joseph part. I think he was off on the day of the auditions. And he ended up as the innkeeper. And there's not much of a part, really, the innkeeper. You know, he's got to open the door, say, no room, goodbye. And that's it. So he decided to big up his part. And when Mary and Joseph knocked on his little cardboard door, he opened the door, they said, have you got any room? And his line was supposed to be no. And he said, rooms? We've got hundreds of them. What sort of room would you like? We've got single rooms, double rooms. Oh, I see you'll be needing a family room. You know. And the teacher's dragging him off round the back. This is not a scripted play. Nobody in these scenes knew what was going on. As this baby in the manger, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. When we sing Wesley's great words, we'll sing, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. And when we sing that, it just goes past, doesn't it? The really nice words, hang on, stop. Really? The living God, the one who is holding your breath in your nostrils just now. Just at this moment, and children, if you get bored, try counting the number of breaths you take in and out between now and the end of our time here together. I'd be quite interested if anybody can tell me how many they are, but every one of them is in the hands of this living God. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, God made man. Writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, when God brings his firstborn into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. And we've heard from the scriptures how those shepherds on the hillsides, they weren't saying, oh yeah, in a minute, you know, the angel of the Lord will appear and everything will happen and then we'll go off to Bethlehem. They were so afraid. They were terrified. It's far from a gentle, simple children's tale because the light has come. Thought about the power of light. Don't know if there's anybody here, if you've ever had to get up in the night and you don't want to switch the light on because it'll disturb someone. Have you noticed how the furniture has moved around in the night and deliberately got in your way so that you stub your toe every time you walk? But if you switch the light on, you can see and it's clear. But light does something else as well. Light reveals to us those things which we would rather not see. In him was light. That light was the life of men. And the thing that we'd rather not see is without this Lord Jesus Christ, we're entirely in the dark. We're helpless and hopeless. But God's great gift should make us shout with joy. Secondly, let's see that this is to all who believed on his name. Here are words which should just make us shudder a little bit. I wonder if anybody is, maybe not quite as ancient as I am, but there was a day, children, do you know, when you woke up on Christmas morning, there was ice on the inside of your windows. Anybody else remember that? Do you remember, yeah, running your finger down the ice and you go, and leap back into bed quickly, because it was freezing. But this is a different sort of shudder. Because it's to everybody. This is not a message for the proud or the great or the smart guy or those who consider themselves good enough already. But this is a message of joy and hope and good news, of great joy for all those whose darkness and disappointments have been revealed by the light that has come into the world. See, you don't need certificates for this. You definitely don't need a social media presence. You just need to know that by the light of this Lord Jesus Christ, without him you are absolutely lost. But that by believing in his name, you might have the light of life. What does that mean? Believing in his name. When I was about 20, I went to the wedding of a friend of mine in Northern Ireland. And I'm a big city boy. I'm from Liverpool. You know, I don't do countryside very easily. We had to take a present to an elderly lady who lived a long way from my friend's farm. And to get there, we had to cross a river. And it had a single plank bridge over the top of it. And I set out across this bridge and I'm carrying this present. And I thought, I can do this. I got two feet on the bridge and it threw me off straight into the river. I was soaked. I thought, well, this can't happen. So I tried it. Cut the story short, 5 or 6 times and I still couldn't do it. And eventually this elderly lady was standing on the other side of the river and she looked at me as if I was stupid, which I suppose I looked because I was completely soaked. And she said, you want to get onto the middle and it will hold you up. Trust your weight to it and it will hold you up. And it did. And that's what believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in his name means. Put your weight on him. Trust to him with everything. This Christmas, whatever your battles, whatever your joys, whatever your struggles, whatever your disappointments, be one this Christmas who believes in his name. Because when you are a child born of God. We will sing, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Well, that would be a mighty piece of poetry if Wesley had just thought it up himself, but he didn't. Comes from the prophecy of Malachi, where God says to his people, but to you who fear my name, to you who believe in my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And here he is. This is today. Finally, let us see as John finishes these verses that he says that the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Verse 14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John says, we've seen his glory. I really quite like Christmas decorations. Is anybody else here like Christmas decorations? Yeah? No, you're all miserable, are you? Well, I like Christmas decorations. Thank you, Vanessa. I'm glad you do as well. But have you ever noticed if one falls off the tree and finds its way under the furniture? You know, when you pull that piece of furniture out in June, when it was up on the tree, it looked fantastic. And you pull it out in June because you think, I've got to vacuum behind that. It looks rubbish. Because that's not glory. And actually, that's not the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that we have seen the real glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of the Father, the only begotten Son of the Father, because he's full of grace and full of truth. The order of words is important here. Grace comes first. Grace is God giving us freely eyes to see, faith to believe, and all the riches of Christ. The light this Christmas is because the Lord Jesus Christ comes full of grace and full of truth. So whatever we do this Christmas, let's not lose sight of him. Last interactive moment. Has anybody ever read C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? Admit it. Yes, very good. Well done. Yes, you have. I know, because we read it together, didn't we? Great. The problem in Narnia was that it was always winter and never Christmas. The great problem in Yorkshire, in Huddersfield, is that for people it's often winter, but never Christ. Don't let it be so this Christmas. Be one of those who trusts on him with all of your weight, and he will delight your hearts.